This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. It is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We're with you every single Saturday morning talking golf with you, usually till 11, but today off a little bit early for White Sox baseball at 10:30. And Connor McKnight will take the wheel for White Sox Weekly. All right, Mike, you were down at Valhalla from Tuesday through Sunday in one of the most eventful golf tournaments we've ever seen, with the drama on the course, off the course, the record scoring, everything that was packed in to your trip at Valhalla. I want you to take us through it start to finish. What did you see down there? What was different? What was new? And what was just, I'm glad they kept it this way from your start to finish there.
Well, Tyler, first and foremost, I got to tell you that the PGA of America, Louisville, and the members at Valhalla Golf Club certainly know how to throw one heck of a party. And I think anytime you can put the, you know, the thoroughbred industry and cross-pollinate it with the golf and throw in some Kentucky bourbon, you're going to get some results that are exciting and fun. And, you know, and it was really, it was down the stretch they came, and a photo finish we had. So it was absolutely incredible for me to return back to the old stomping grounds where, you know, I got my young career started with the PGA of America, and one of my main assignments was the Valhalla Golf Club when they were exploring the idea of purchasing it outright from Dwight Game and the Game family. And most of my responsibility was outside the ropes, with Kerry Haig taking care of everything inside the ropes. And when I say outside the ropes, I'm talking about media centers, television compounds, merchandising facilities, corporate hospitality, and everything soup to nuts that goes on the outside, concessions and the whatnot. So it was, for me, it was going back home and reuniting with a lot of people early in my career on Wednesday and getting kind of a lay of the land and actually getting a chance to see the venue and what they have done to it and the changes that they made to the greens and to the facility itself was remarkable. And I tip my hat to everybody at the club, the PGA of America, for the changes that they made. One thing that really stood out to me was really the lack of structure bleaching that you commonly see it, for example, at the British Opens, and, you know, you'll see at Augusta on the occasion. And what they did is they took advantage of the landscape and they created natural amphitheater, which I think gave it a great look for television. I think it also allowed more people to actually get in and around and watch the golf. And as a result, more people on the golf course, you know, in great viewing areas with the acoustics the way it was, I've never heard the roars echoing like they did on the weekend as I experienced at the PGA Championship. And so Wednesday kind of comes and goes, and we get ready for, you know, an exciting first day. And it was funny. We had talked earlier in the morning at breakfast with several media that we wouldn't be a bit surprised if there was a course record. We did not think it was going to happen in amongst the first few groups of the day. So we quickly start the week off with an amazing start, a 62, and other guys are going low. So the golf course is showing its vulnerability. Obviously, there's not much you can do about the weather. It is what it is, and you've got 150 of the world's greatest taking aim. So that's what's going to happen. But it got the week off. Everybody was, you know, on cloud nine when we left the club Thursday night. Then we wake up Friday morning, and I wake up to a text from Dave Scharf from here from ESPN. And I notice that we have a delay, and I'm thinking it was weather, but Dave Scharf tells me that Scotty Scheffler's in handcuffs. And I thought he was kidding. And I thought it was something along the lines of, you know, hey, the only way these guys are going to beat Scotty Scheffler is he's got to play. Scotty Scheffler has to wear handcuffs.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, there was an individual who was working at the event, and he was setting up traffic cones early in the morning, before 5 o'clock in the morning, and just at 5, he tried to cross 5 lanes of traffic, and for failing to forget that they are now using the middle lane as a pass-through lane. And He unfortunately walked right in front of a bus and was tragically killed. And that set the tee times back about an hour and a half. And but the PGA of America sent out a statement and said to the players that they would be allowed to pass through what is now considered a crime scene. And as a result, the Louisville police had other Louisville policemen come to the scene that weren't a part of the traffic control and all the planning that the PGA did for several years to get to this point. So you had some what I'll call ignorant police officers coming in. They just didn't know the traffic plan. And a perfect storm happens. Scottie Scheffler drives up in a marked courtesy car, I might add, and was doing what he thought the officer told him to do. And he knew he had to make a left turn and go in the club. And that was the traffic lane that he was in. So he went ahead and did so. And the officer took exception to it. And I guess leached and latched onto the car is what we're being told, because the officer didn't have his body camera on, is what we find out. And as a result, he became very aggressive with Scotty, had him get out of the car. They handcuffed him and took him to jail. And they charged him with four charges, three of them, you know, minor misdemeanors, but the one was second degree battery of a police officer. So that does carry with it anywhere from 5 to 15 years of jail time. Now, do we think common sense is going to prevail? Of course we do, but this is before a major championship. So the point of saying all of this is that the attitude and the feel and the emotion went from the highest of high to now a dark cloud. And not only was it a dark cloud emotionally and, you know, mentally, but it was really raining, and it was raining hard, and it got dark, and it was a miserable day weather-wise.
The guys had to finish their rounds from the day before.
And we were getting there early just for that. And now we go from having this horse race to now being concerned that the number one player in the world is no longer going to be in our field. And now for the next hour and a half to 2 hours in the media center was something like I've never seen before, with media, everyone going to sources and trying to find out what is true and what is false. Is that photo correct or is it made up? You know, trying to validate and all the rest of it. And then the Louisville Police Department's website crashed because everyone in the world wanted to try to figure out what was going on. So it was a very chaotic situation. And we finally then get word that the ownership of Valhalla, along with PGA senior executives and along with, as I turned out, some city executives, all got together and got him processed and got him back out at 8:40. We were told at 9 o'clock he would arrive, but 9 o'clock came and went, as did 9:05, 9:10. And at that point, we thought for sure he was going to withdraw. But no. Scotty brought life back into the event, and what he did is he arrived, gave his parents a couple of hugs, and walked out to the practice range and warmed up for 15 minutes, hit four bunker shots, 12 putts, and said, let's go, and calmly went out and shot 66. And I think he did it all on adrenaline, and he saved, I thought, the event in a large, large way, because that would have been a tremendous black eye to the PGA of America, to the city of Louisville, and everyone in, you know, involved. But it also demonstrated what a class individual Scottie Scheffler is, and the ability to compartmentalize like no other.
Yeah.
So he brought life back into this championship, and you know, we then headed into a weekend of great weather and great theater. The weather was terrific. The wind was down. The course was soft. The players took advantage of it. And then the horse race really began. And that's where I think Louisville as a community showed how golf savvy, how knowledgeable, and how respectful they are of the game. And they really turned a difficult situation, I think, around in a way that at the end of the day proves why Louisville, Kentucky deserves to have, if not major championships, some of the biggest events in the game, because they have a big time venue in Valhalla and one that is fantastic spectator experience. And if the USGA doesn't want to use it, I hope the PGA of America continues to go back there, or the PGA Tour, or even for that matter, the LPGA Tour. Louisville, Kentucky deserves golf, because Louisville, Kentucky is great for golf. And it was, they treated me like like family. And I have to tell you, I'm so impressed with that community through and through. And I just want to say thank you to that community and the PGA of America for allowing me to have this experience, because it was something I will remember and treasure for the rest of my life.
I think too, I always think about this with collegiate / minor league towns. When you are able to go out there and put together a big time event, the community is always going to show out, because when their community gets to be center. I think of the same thing when it was in Rochester last year, Rochester, right. New York, like upstate New York, small minor league town, a little bit of a collegiate feel to it. But when you put a big time event in your town, the community will always show up. And it doesn't matter what kind of event it is. They will show up because it is one of the best things that they get to put on their calendar for the entirety of the year.
Not only for the year.
And if you think about like that city, like you get a little bit of Reds baseball if you go over the river, and then it's Louisville football and basketball, and some minor league baseball, and then the Kentucky Derby. We know the Kentucky Derby is going to sell out every single year. It's, all right, what do we do with the other 364 days? And this was one of them, and they made the most out of it, it seemed like.
No, they certainly did. And to your point, they do have the greatest 2 minutes in sports, but what is it the other 364 days? And, you know, for a community like Louisville as such, this is their Super Bowl. This is their Final Four. The economic impact that they realized last week was as big as hosting one of those. Because remember, you know, the Super Bowl is a one-day game. This is multiple days. Mm-hmm. Let's just start there. And yes, there's all the buildup and the fanfare, but they do the same thing. And, you know, in Louisville, Kentucky, there is a culture that Derby Week, nobody goes to work. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they adopt that same philosophy for PGA Championship Week. So basically, there's no business being conducted. Everything is about this event and their community, because they are so proud of their community. And when I tell you they had volunteers, they had, I think it was over 3,500 volunteers.
Wow.
I mean, they come out and support in a way that a lot of communities just simply don't. And there is such a love for their own community, and to do what they wanted, you know, to do what's best for their own community, that they have a pride like no other. And it was just fun to see. And big cities can learn a lot from, I think, mid-sized markets like that.
No doubt about that. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA and also a little recap of our event that we did earlier this week, the Better Through Birdies Challenge, and tell you how you can still donate for that. This is the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Big thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. If you missed any of it, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Just find the CDGA Golf Show. Before we go around the CDGA, I do want to kind of recap the event that we did on Thursday as a team, Mike, and that was the Better Through Birdies Challenge, as we posted 24 birdies, and it was not easy. The previous high was held by Kevin Gronkowski and Rick Rugg at 23 birdies, and we needed a charge down the stretch. We were stuck on 20 for a long time. I think We went like 6 or 7 holes without one, and then all of a sudden we kicked it into gear and finished 4 for 4 to close it out. So it was a fun finish for us, and 24 birdies was our final number.
Yeah, in fact, I think we got after 40 holes, we were right at the 20 mark. So we had 11 holes left after 39 holes, and we went 7 pars.
Yeah.
But we went 4 in a row to finish strong. Mm-hmm. So clutch putting on your behalf, I must say, and you nailed the final one, and it wasn't even a side door. It was dead in the heart of the hole, and that's what made that thing magical of sorts. So, you know, but who was the big winner? Well, the military, individuals with disability, and our youth, because we raised just over $112,000, and still counting. So if you want to go to to betterthroughbirdies.org/par3challenge and donate to our effort this past week. You certainly can. And that would put us over the $5,000 mark personally, but it would continue the overall growth that we've had here as an overall fundraising group of 112,000 and just a remarkable show of support and effort by all of those involved. So thank you everybody that has been involved in making this year's Par 3 Challenge just an utter success. So we look forward to next year.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a fun event. It was a different event. I'm still sore, by the way.
Oh yeah, I told you it would be.
Although I'm a little surprised. I'm sore in my lower body. Usually, like, you go to the range or something like that, I'll feel it in my shoulders or like my pecs. I feel fine. I feel great up there. It's all my right leg, my abs, and then like my obliques kind of are yeah, all a little bit sore, but everything else feels fine. But I was just surprised. It's only my right leg. My right hamstring has just been barking for the last couple of days, and I've been stretching it out, but my left leg feels fine.
Well, that's a sign, though, that you're starting to use the entire core, that you're also generating power with the lower body first instead of all upper body. And that was a big change I think you made while we were playing. And I think the results certainly showed and certainly helped for us. But I think that's where, you know, that new modality, if you will, or that motion is going to yield that. So that's a good sore to have.
Yes, doubt about that. All right, so what is going on around the CDGA this week?
Well, first and foremost, we did have the CDGA Fantasy Golf, you know, presented by Tour Edge, and you and I had our traditional bet that Jersey Mike's made for sub sandwiches available, and our majors mark now. We are 1-1. I'm the Masters winner, right, and you are officially the PGA Championship winner between us. So congratulations to you. You had more guys make the cut than I did, and that was the telltale.
Just slightly, though. I did not have a good cut record. I did have Xander and Morikawa in that first group, and that's what really carried me. And then I had Mark Hubbard in out of the group D. And when you can get a guy, I don't remember exactly where he finished, but he was like 10 under at one point. And that really helped my score kind of towards the end. So he finished tied for 26 at 9 under. So
yes, he did. And but you did. I mean, you did great. So, and speaking of CDGA Fantasy Golf, we are going to be releasing the field tomorrow and opening up registration for our very first Women's U.S. Open Fantasy Golf. All and right, we are going to include two of the ladies events this year. So the whole series, instead of being five events this year, is actually going to be seven. So why did we do this? Because the women CDGA members spoke to us, as did many of the men, because women's golf is growing at a rate that's unbelievable, and they're actually becoming almost more entertaining to watch on certain levels, basically due in part to the fraction that's going on in the men's game. But they are exciting to watch, and especially with Nelly Korda doing her thing and putting, again, women's sports on the map, just like Caitlin Clark did with basketball. She's doing the same with golf. And so there's going to be a lot of optics going into this year's U.S. Open. So we decided back in the winter that we were going to do this, and it's a perfect storm. There's going to be a ton of optics on this thing, and so there's a great opportunity to engage with the event through being a CDGA member. Just go to your My CDGA Caddy and, you know, enter in your password and username and begin to sign up. But that invitation will be put out in tomorrow's scorecard that everyone will receive probably around 11 a.m. So we're looking forward to a great, great week of ladies golf. And believe it or not, sooner or later, I mean, we're only a couple of weeks from the United States Men's Open, Father's Day. I mean, this weekend the pools open and golf courses are going. Yeah. So it has been a long winter. But we're here. So that's about it from my perspective around the CDGA today.
By the way, I had my first encounter with cicadas on the golf course.
Oh,
now,
did you?
It was just like a driving range session, but they were loud. They were buzzing. You could see them flying around. You could see some of them creeping into your bays as well and stuff like that. But it was my first encounter with cicadas. And then when we were doing our par three, we got a little taste of it as well.
We did. And, you know, it was interesting when we played yesterday. You know, it's funny. You'll be just minding your own business, and one just flies and hits you in the head. they're not the most accurate flyers.
No.
I've noticed. They're not.
Yeah. You know?
And so I had a few bang into the side of my head, and it's not because they really wanted to. They just...
They don't know what they're doing.
I don't think they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so all they know is they want leaves and want trees, and they'll do whatever they can to get there, and they'll do some of the wildest things. But and there are certain parts, some of the older areas, I know, like for Wheaton, it has been loud, and they're everywhere. But if you don't have them yet, just wait. They're coming.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We'll talk to you next week.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.